Thank you, Pastor. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to talk to you this evening about fulfilling your ministry. Fulfilling your ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Word of God says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God did a miracle in each of our lives. He transformed us into a new creature. Old things are passed away. And when we read that verse, we think, well, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why is it I still do things I shouldn't do? Because it's a process, a growing process that God is taking you through step by step. I told the young people this morning, when I got saved at age 17, it was like the old cartoon. You remember the cartoon Mighty Mouse? If you're my age, you would. A few of you might. I remember seeing Mighty Mouse get the bad guy, and he'd grab him by the toes, and he'd turn him upside down, and he's sitting there denying he's done anything wrong, and he'd just kind of shake him, and the money would come out, and the gun would fall out, and the knife would fall out of the pockets, and everything. And it was reminded me of, you know, when we first come to Christ, we're excited, we want to live for the Lord, but we're not always honest with ourselves. And God begins to do a transformation, a metamorphosis. It begins with accepting Christ as our personal Savior, but it continues. And so He continually is taking away the old things, and all things are becoming new. We see these changes in our lives, and when we see the Apostle Paul write this to the Corinthian church, we remember something that's important. The Corinthian church was a proud people. They thought they had it all. They had done it all. And they thought, we're the top-notch Christians. And Paul turned to them and he said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you look at verse 18 and he says, and all things are of God. All things are of God. As you remember, Corinthian church, where God has taken you from. Where He got you, where He has taken you from. And you remember, it's not of you. It's not because of you. It is because of what God is doing in our lives. And so Paul continues and says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, he's talking about what He has accomplished through reconciliation. Jesus provided the reconciliation upon the cross. It is there for the taking, for the accepting of our part. But it doesn't happen until we come to be reconciled with God. When we come to that point of receiving Christ and realizing without Him, we are nothing. Without Him, we have nothing. And we have nothing to offer Him except our heart, allowing Him to be the one who reconciles us with the Lord. And yet when he comes to he says in the last part of that verse, verse 18, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I remember when I first got saved, I was excited about what God was doing in my life. Immediately, I began to see some of that old stuff fall out of the pockets, and it's gone. And one of the things I noticed in my life as I began to grow as a Christian was a desire to serve. I wanted to get involved in church. I wanted to do something and serve and be a part of what God was doing in my life. And so he talks about giving to us a ministry of reconciliation. We may not know how at that early point in our lives to lead someone to Christ, to bring them to that knowledge and to guide them personally to Christ, but I can invite them and bring them in to church so somebody else can talk to them. And when I would bring these people and talk to people at school or whatever it was, it wasn't easy. There was times it wasn't easy at all, but I had a desire to serve. And so the Lord says, I've given you a ministry. He gives you a ministry, and we have something we can do and participate in. But He doesn't stop with giving us a ministry. Not only that, He says in the following verse, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So now He has committed unto us a responsibility. Something that we must do. We've been given that ministry. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation. And it becomes a responsibility. I know when I was a teenager growing up, I loved to play baseball, played Little League. And there were times when my dad left me with a responsibility. If I didn't do it, I didn't get a ride to ball practice. The job had to be done before the reward came. And we had to look at it and take it seriously. And so God taught me some lessons there, and we need to realize we've been given a responsibility to bring people in, to be reconciled with God. And then in verse 20, he says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative. And we become ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Ambassadors of heaven. Just as an ambassador goes to a foreign country and he deals with that foreign country and tries to maintain good relations with that country and do what would benefit our country at that point, we do the same as an ambassador for Christ. Folks, we have been given a privileged position. It is a privilege to be an ambassador for the United States and some other country. Well, it is a privilege for us to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. What greater privilege can there be? And so we are told, okay, I've given you ministry. And then as we grow, we get to that point where we see it as a responsibility. And then as we grow through that stage of our Christian life, we come to that point where we realize and God calls us to be an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador. And he's given us that privileged position. But why? Why was Paul so excited and determined to follow that path in his life and to share that with the Christians that he would bring to Christ? Well, number one, it was because of what he has done for us. Because of what Christ has done for us. Paul was motivated in trying to motivate the Corinthian Christians to do the same. You look at verse 21. He says, "For he hath made us to be sin, him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He gives us a motivation because of what he has done for us. It's not of us. We didn't do it. He did it all. He brought us to Christ. And then we find in verse 9, go back with me to verse 9 and look at a few things here. He says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." That we may be accepted of him. Who does not want to be accepted of the Lord? I think about my grandchildren. And the oldest, when she was little, she would draw a picture. And she'd bring it to me. And she said, "Bubby, you like the picture I drew for you?" And I would say how lovely it was and beautiful. And can I hang it, put it on my refrigerator to keep it? And she'd get all excited and she'd go off just happy and content. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to want to come to the Lord and bring him something that makes him happy. We want to be accepted of him. And he tells us how. Be an ambassador for Christ. Bring people to know Christ as their personal Savior. And so it was one of the things that motivated Paul was that we would be accepted of him. Look at verse 10. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I want to tell you something. Because of the fact that we will give an account to him, should motivate us to be ambassadors for Christ. To take that privileged position as we have grown into that and be serious about it and go after souls for Christ. Why? Because we are going to give an account to God. An account of our gifts, our talents, our money, our family, our ministry, our message, our witness. We'll give an account to the Lord one day for those things. Not only that, Paul was excited about it. And what motivated him through this time was what we see in verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust you also are made manifest in your consciences." Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." My friend, he's not talking about the terror that Paul was worried something would happen, that a Christian needs to fear the terror of the Lord. We've been saved, we've been forgiven, we've been cleansed, we've been separated and set apart to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But Paul was realizing the lost person will face the Lord. The lost person will face the terror of God if they are not saved. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And he knew what the lost person would face. People are dying around us every day. People are going to hell every day. And Paul said, we're going to give an account for that. And I realize the terror of the Lord that they will face. And I don't want them to face that. And it motivated Paul with a yearning to go out and witness and witness and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We were rebuilding a church in California. One morning there was what would be a drive-by shooting, two automobiles, gang-related, drug-related, whatever it was, but one car came up on another just off of Orange Avenue up at the corner, a few blocks from our church. And gunfire was exchanged. A man was hit by the gunfire and ran into a concrete pole on the corner. The other car sped away. People from the house and members of our church right on the corner came out to see what they could do to help. The man was in the driver's seat and half in, half out. He was injured. He had been shot. And he began to scream. And he said, somebody put out the fire. Please, please stop the fire. It burns. And he passed into eternity. There was no fire. The vehicle was not on fire. But that man was consumed in that moment and faced the terror of the Lord. What will we do about that? He knew the terror of the Lord that they would face. And then Paul said in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. He didn't say me, he said us. We have a responsibility. We're ambassadors for Christ. He said, the love of Christ constrains me. It grips my heart. And I wonder if tonight the love of Christ truly grips our heart. It must. Allow it to grip your heart to motivate that you will be an ambassador for Christ. Faithful. Driven by the fact that there are people that need the Lord. And you look at verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Who do I live unto? Who do you live unto? To yourself or to God? And our challenge that we would live unto God, that we would fulfill our ministry and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He's given us a privileged position. And we should be motivated to live and enjoy that privileged position by being an ambassador for Christ. Pastor.